This podcast may have affiliated or sponsored segments. Any affiliated links or sponsored segments will be disclosed to comply with FTC guidelines and to be transparent with our listeners. Welcome to The Craft Cove, a place where we discuss current crafts, future projects, and learn more about various crafting forms we enjoy the most. I'm your host, Sleeping Luna Designs, but you can call me Liz. It's great to have you here, friend. Let's catch up on some crafty goodness. So today on the podcast, we've got a friend of the show, also over on Twitch, and friend just everywhere, because, you know, she's amazing. She specializes with upcycling, repurposing, and creating new things out of something old. It's funny because I've always thought of the phrase something old, something new, and it relates to this person just in general. But Graceful Dawn, welcome on in.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I've actually never thought of that before, but you're absolutely right that something old, something new, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's true. At least we're not adding the something borrowed and something blue at the end of that at the moment, but eventually.
Possibly. I mean, there is blue stuff that exists, so.
This is very accurate. All right. Well, Graceful Dawn is such an amazing and talented creator. And the reason I wanted to have her on here today, there's just so many moving pieces to your story. That over the last, well, we at the time of this recording, we have been friends for about 9 months now. And there are just so many moving pieces to the puzzle of your business as a whole. It's just so fascinating to me. I don't know why. It's just so fascinating. Like every ounce of your journey is just so fascinating, so captivating for me. So can you give everybody a quick rundown a little bit better than you're amazing? Than I did, because we know I'm biased. So how about we hear it from the horse's mouth?
You got it. So what I typically do is I'm a jewelry upcycler is the title I've given myself. I take jewelry that I find that's either broken or donated to me by friends and family, like pieces that they don't wear or pieces that may have broken them in the past and just haven't had time to fix or find someone to repair them. I will also go to retail stores and find pieces of jewelry that are very heavily marked down. So like 75, 80% off the original price type of deal that the company is just trying to get rid of. I'll pick up these pieces and completely disassemble them. So I'll take apart their beads. I'll take apart their jump rings, the string, the clasps, the charms, anything that is part of those pieces of jewelry and break them down into their individual components. And then with those components, along with other things that I've taken apart in the past, or maybe some new supplies that I've purchased from an art store or a craft show or something like that, I'll take all of those, combine them into something new and fresh and breathe new life into a tired piece.
And just to kind of reemphasize about how awesome I think the pieces are. I think I own 4 of your dream catchers at this point.
And a necklace.
And a necklace. Yes, this is very, and a pair of earrings actually that's coming in.
Oh, and the earrings too.
And the earrings. Yeah. This is your new fall collection is so pretty. I just love the colors in it, but we'll talk about more of that collection in a bit. What I actually want to hit on first, I want to hear about your current works in progress or most recent finishes.
Sure thing. So my current work in progress is actually inspired by Disney's movie Coco, because the marigold color is prominent all throughout that movie. And I think the beads came from a very tired looking necklace back in the day. They are like this beautiful, they are marigold color, basically. You watch the movie, and that's the color that these beads are. And what I'm working on with them is I am stitching them up in what's called a peyote stitch in the round, which sounds, it's a lot of words, but basically all it means is I'm going through one bead, skipping a bead, going through, skipping one, and just doing that around and around and around in a loop. And it's going to create a round bracelet that I will eventually attach a sugar skull charm to and have for 2021 fall collection. So that's going to be part of that. For cross-stitching, which is new to me. I am working on the Lunar Princess stitch-along, which is actually made by Sleeping Luna Designs.
What? I had no idea.
I know. I never would have guessed. So I'm working on that. I'm getting pretty close to catching up with the final release, and I just need to finish a couple more pieces. I ran out of silver floss for middle of some of the gems of the releases, so I need to get that back in stock. But once that's done, I will be completely caught up.
That's awesome. And it's speaking of the Sal, you mentioned that I just saw somebody completely finish chapter 8
in the Discord. It's beautiful.
I'm so excited to see all these people who are catching up and they're fully caught up and ready for fractional stitch hell with chapter 9. We laugh about it now, but we'll be cursing ourselves here pretty soon.
We will. Absolutely. I'm dreading it.
Oh yeah. We all are. And my test stitcher for this, best friend Tanya, she's just going to be sitting back, relaxing, laughing at every single one of us while
she was the test stitcher, right?
Yeah, yeah. She test stitched the whole thing. So I remember getting tons of text messages of, "I hate you. You're the worst." And it's only going, and now she gets to reap the rewards of not having to do it live with everybody else.
There are benefits to being a test stitcher.
Oh, very, very many benefits. But that was also before we knew the glory of Lugana.
Evenweave
and linen. So you have some incredible works in progress. I'm also working on the Lunar Princess Sal, because of course. And I've been working on a couple of pieces for Christmas gifts, the golf piece for my dad, and I'm halfway done with that one now. The tropical pineapples for mom, I am about a quarter of the way done with that, I would say.
And then, I enjoy those tropical pineapples. They look really pretty.
That one is so pretty. And then on that one too, that center flower motif, I switched that out from the regular plain DMC over to the Etoile, and it just gives it that right amount of just pop and interest. It doesn't look as flat, and it's really great.
That's going to look really nice on the finished piece.
I hope so. I really do, because, yeah, and even if it doesn't, if I can't get it in a full frame, I will probably make a biscornu out of it. So who knows what's going to happen at this point with it. But outside of that, the only other work in progress that's worth mentioning, I think at this point, I'm starting a new crochet blanket today on stream. And bear in mind, this is being recorded in advance, so that by the time this airs, you all will have seen the progress on this blanket. But this is actually for the September Twitch event. And we're doing a giveaway for a blanket. If you subscribe to the channel, you can enter to win. So that is always very fun, but I get to start that today. And it's a really stunning color palette. The color palette is called, where did it go? I just had the yarn color. It's called Sunny Day.
Ooh.
And it's like these peachy coral yellow tones and a little bit of tan in there. It's really nice and vibrant. And I think we kind of all need that after everything that's been going on, or just a little bit of a reminder of summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it'll be great. I think it'll be very pretty. And I hope everybody will like it.
I'm sure I will. I love anything yellow or sunny or bright like that.
Just you watch. Dawn's going to swoop in and try and actually win that blanket without me knowing it. And she's going to start having the curse of winning everything on my channels when I've won everything on hers.
It's very true.
So accurate. But here's the big thing about what I love about your story, right? Of course, we know you're a seller online. If you don't know her website, it's gracefuldawndesigns.squarespace.com. And I think that was one of the first questions I ever had for you when we met, after you told me you had a store. I'm like, oh, okay, what's your Etsy? And you're like, no, I'm not on Etsy. So what was your initial reasoning for switching off of that platform?
Initially, well, we got to back up a little bit further than that even. So my very first exposure of selling was back when I was still in high school, back in 2012. I had like a couple random pieces of beads and like just those cheap friendship charm bracelet kits that you would get for your friends and stuff like that. Bear in mind, this was also in South America, which was a whole other kettle of fish. So getting good supplies was very difficult for me to come by because I didn't know what stores could be trusted and what supplies were good. And the really good beads and materials were all imported and taxed very heavily. So I had a very hard time finding good materials to work with. Right. So that's how I started upcycling, was actually taking pieces that my mom never wore and taking them apart and making something else. I used to sell those at the school's snack shack for, I think the earrings were like $1, the bracelets were $2, and the necklaces were $5. And all of them went towards our class's senior trip at the very end of high school, where we all went to the beach for a week as a, hey, we survived high school, let's celebrate and just have some time off. When I moved back to Canada in late 2012, I got my first job, and then one of my coworkers hand crocheted little Daleks from Doctor Who and sold them on Etsy. And they were so adorable, one of which has actually ended up as my roommate's cat toy now. She loves it more than I do. It's really adorable. But so she was like, hey, you have something, you wear a different piece of jewelry like every day, I noticed. Do you sell them? And I said, no, but I used to, you know, back just in person at this snack shack for teens, basically. And she's like, okay, well, try Etsy. And I went, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Fast forward to 2016 is when I actually opened up my Etsy store, February 29th, 2016, because I wanted a unique date and there's nothing more unique than leap year. So once every 4 years, my store has a birthday just to make it weird and unique. And
wait, you started on leap year in 2016?
Yeah.
That's so funny. My normal 9-to-5, I started on leap year in 2016.
Further proof that you and I were separated at birth.
This is very true. This is so true.
That's funny.
That's so weird. Oh my gosh. Because the jokes keep coming in at work. They were coming in at that point at work. Like, huh, you've only been here a year.
I've only been selling. Yeah. This past February was my technically first year. Technically.
If we want to get ridiculous about it.
Yeah. So I opened up my Etsy. That existed under the name Graceful Dawn Designs until July of 2018. In July of 2018, Etsy put out a email saying, hey, we are going to be increasing the listing, or not the listing fee, the fee that you pay when a seller, or when you purchase something from a seller, from 3.5% to 5%. And I will openly admit that my switch to Squarespace was 100% emotional. I read that email and went, no, that's not happening. I was livid. I had run the numbers and I could not afford an increase in there, even the slightest of increase, because 3.5 to 5%, it adds up after a long time. And the fact that Etsy had already charged me per item to list and continue to renew them after a 4-month period, and I had to spend money to keep my pieces online on the website,
right.
That extra percentage would just completely do me in. And I had just begun to break even with my store at that point. Percentage would have completely dropped me down into the red, and it would have just not ended up being good. I did some research, and I had dabbled with Squarespace previously, just as like a free two-week trial. They have a 2-week trial for free. And I had dabbled with it as like a blog site when I had considered opening a blog, which ironically, there is now a blog on my website too.
Hey, at least one of us can manage a blog.
One of us can manage a blog, and it's not Liz. So the jokes keep coming.
Zing!
I kind of played around with that. I looked at, I know a friend of mine also runs a crochet store off of, and I'm blanking out on it now, WordPress.org, I think is where her website is hosted by.
Okay.
I looked at that briefly because I had also a very old blog. It still exists out there in the cyberspace somewhere from my high school journalism days on WordPress. But I decided to go with Squarespace just because I like the layout of it. And after dabbling around and playing with it a little bit more, I found out how much of it I could customize and move around and just make it my own, really. And so I just decided to jump the wagon and move everything over to my own domain. Well, free domain. I haven't purchased my domain yet, but it works. It's, you know, it does what it needs to.
You are the top search result, though. Your site is the top search result. So not necessarily for the moment. I don't think you necessarily need it, but is that something that's in the future for you?
Absolutely. I do eventually plan to buy a domain. I haven't decided on what ending of a domain or what it's going to be called, because there is a, originally I wanted to go with dawndesigns.com, but that has already been taken by somebody else. And I don't want to even try to be like, hey, can I have this now? Cause that's just not, it's just not who I am at this point after
I can has.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go to someone with empty hand and cat eyes, begging cat eyes, puss in boots style and go, I can has domain name, please. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find something that works out for me and is more inclusive of my whole style.
Or you won't be like in Parks and Rec when the sister, John Ralphio's sister, goes up to her dad and goes, money, please. Just domain, please.
Basically, give domain. Give domain.
Give domain. So how long did it take you to move everything over from Etsy to Squarespace?
I hustled 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And I moved about, at that point, I only had about 100 pieces on my Etsy.
Only.
So in comparison, my most recent launch is my Harvest Happiness, my fall collection. That launch had 50 plus pieces when it launched. So in comparison, moving 100 pieces over 2 weeks, that was the most hustle I had ever had to do before the fall.
Before fall collection, when you put 100 pieces up in like, what, 3 days?
50 pieces.
Or 3 pieces in 3 days?
About 4 days.
4 days for 50? That's, yeah.
2 days for photography and editing, and then the rest of those 2 days listing. Scheduling and uploading. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, if you don't know Dawn personally, that hustle that she had behind the scenes, she was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. That moment, it's very much so. She was running around like a chicken with her head cut off. But I mean, the collection is stunning nonetheless. And I selfishly bought the best dream catcher in that whole entire collection. No tea, no shade. Had to have it
more
for myself.
More accurately, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, then had then died and been risen by a necromancer. That's a bit more accurate.
So zombie chicken.
Pretty much, yeah.
So is it Zombie Chicken Gate now?
Zombie Chicken Gate sure is.
Oh, Lord.
You'll pardon our inside jokes.
Oh, so many inside jokes. Okay, so, I mean, you've obviously said it took you a lot of time to get everything set up. I mean, we know you're passionate about the way you photograph, what you photograph, how you list your items. It's very apparent that you love what you do just by talking to you for a couple minutes.
I absolutely do. It's been my dream since I was 10 years old. My full story is on my website under the About section. I think it's called My Backstory or something that I have it labeled as. But yeah, I started making jewelry when I was 10 years old with one of those friendship bracelet kits, which I still have the book for that.
Oh, it's, do you really?
Somewhere. I do still. I still have that book somewhere. It's buried in my library in a box of books that I don't have room to put up on a shelf. But yeah, it's still there. I still have that.
Oh, I'm going to have to teach you how to level up your friendship bracelet game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's some of those crazy ones out there where you could put they had the full designs in the center. Like, it's full Pokemon designs or Animal Crossing designs. Straight in the middle.
I have too much on my plate already. Don't tempt me with more.
Oh, I'm gonna tempt you. I'm gonna teach you. I'm gonna teach you how to do it, because it was a lot of fun when I was doing those. Because that's what I used to sell. That's what I sold back in the day.
That's right. That's right. You had mentioned that. I forgot that you had done that.
Between those and those upcycled bracelets that I used to make.
Right.
That's what I used to do.
Upcycle too, right?
Yeah. I upcycled Starbucks gift cards. Because I worked at Starbucks for so long that my customers would always just throw away gift cards, and it was just so much to throw away, and found a way to use them.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Hey, it was free. It was the quickest way to get those extra gift cards, you know? It was free. You just work there, and you just have stacks upon stacks upon stacks when you left for the day. But here's the question I really have for you. Now that you've moved, now that you've had 2 years to get your feet sunk into the sand, sales-wise, views-wise, was it worth it?
I think it was. At the time that I left Etsy, I was just starting to hit a 2 sales per month rhythm pretty steadily, that I would find someone, or someone would find my store and pick something up from it twice a month. Not the same person, mind you, but Etsy's traffic generation was really good for that, for making sure that I was still able to be seen with all of those other jewelry makers out there, because handmade jewelry is such a saturated market that when I first started it, I was legitimately terrified that I wouldn't have any sales at all and I would just be wasting my time. Obviously, that's a lie, that people like my style, and you know, it's been thriving ever since. Yeah, I was very scared that it wasn't gonna work out. At the very beginning, when I first got onto Squarespace, my Squarespace website launched on July 1st, 2018. So Canada Day for you Canadians out there. And the day that it launched, I actually did have a sale, which boosted my morale. And I went, okay, so I am findable. I am, some people still like what I have out there. I don't know if they had seen me on Etsy and then decided to purchase from my Squarespace site because they wanted to support the new site, or right, if they just happened to stumble upon it and say, oh yeah, that's cute, I'll get that, not knowing that the site was brand new. I have no idea. I'm just glad that the day that I launched, I had one.
Hey, that motivation booster right there, though, that's the moment where you're like, hey, maybe this is good. Maybe this can move forward.
And I was very glad to have that, too, because the rest of 2018, I only had 2 other sales, one in November and one in December. So that
2018 was rough.
2018 was very rough, both with having to still deal with paying Etsy's fees that I still owed on their site from moving everything over, that I still had to pay for like a listing fee, and I still had an outstanding balance on there that I still couldn't quite get rid of before I had to close my store down. So that was a little bit rough. But then 2019 was a little bit better. I was able to hit an average of 12 sales in a year, which is about 1 a month. It didn't all happen as 1 a month. I had like 2 in 1 month and then 3 in another, and then like a two month gap with nothing. So it was kind of sporadic, but it's been steadily increasing since then. And 2020 has been the best sales year yet. I actually surpassed my sales goal back in March. So
see, look at that. You've already been doing great. And before this question, don't get too detailed just yet, but what do you think was the largest factor in sales increases in 2020?
Largest factor, there's two that I would say, actually. The first would be, I've just been more focused on boosting my social media presence and finding communities that I fit into, and just spreading the word and just making friends, really. And then just having them be like, oh, hey, yeah, she does this really cool thing, let me show you what she can do, and pull up their website on their phone or whatever. The second one would be definitely streaming on Twitch. I'm a bit of a Twitch streamer, and we'll touch on this later, like you said. But I stream on Twitch more or less regularly. Once a week, definitely. But that would definitely be one of the biggest sources of, or biggest reasons why I've been so boosted.
And when we come back, we're actually going to quickly talk about that and, you know, dive a little bit further into what got you into Twitch and what brought you in my life. Because, you know, selfishly, I'm going to say, hey, this is the best part of this whole thing, is that we're friends now. So, but
I mean, I would agree with that. But.
Oh, solid. Great. At least we have an agreement on this one. But when we come back, we'll talk about some streaming. And then there was a craft event that was held recently that I want to chat with you about. So we'll talk about that right after this. This episode of The Craft Cove is brought to you by Graceful Dawn Designs. Now, of course, we are interviewing Graceful Dawn Designs today, but she has actually generously donated a gift code for all of you guys. And you can go and snag anything regular priced in her store for 25% off using the code LUNA. Now, I highly recommend you take a look at her newest collection, which is called Harvest Happiness. It's a whole entire fall themed collection. Definitely some of my favorite pieces are her glamorous coin earrings, the Dreamcatcher I already bought, which I can't really tell you more about. The elegant teardrop earrings and her dream catchers are just some of my favorite pieces from this new collection. If you go to gracefuldawndesigns.squarespace.com, use code LUNA at checkout for 25% off any regular priced item. This code doesn't expire either. Thanks so much for providing this for our viewers. Welcome back. It's been forever. It's been 2 seconds since we last spoke to each other.
It has been so long. I missed you so much. Oh my God.
I missed you too. It was like the 84 years later meme, or it's been 84 years.
And I still remember when I was on the Crafty Cove podcast.
Oh, I know. It was so long ago.
All sarcasm aside.
All sarcasm aside, before the break, what we mentioned was that you said something about streaming and how that's been a huge boon for you just overall. What led you to streaming your crafting on Twitch?
Well, for a while back in 2018, I guess. No, even before that, 2017, I think, I had dabbled in streaming a little bit. Just like I'd be playing a game and be like, oh, you know what? I could stream this and have a fun time with it. Why not? And then just pop it open. I wouldn't get very many views, obviously. I was just like, I don't know, 3-4 people coming in. And one time I streamed for like 5 hours of gameplay and I had no one in the chat, no views or anything. So I was like, yeah, well, that was a kind of fun experiment. But then in January, I guess, of 2019, December 2019, I guess, actually, I was just kind of browsing around on Twitch and being like, well, there's more people that are out there that I can watch because I only watch like maybe 2 or 3 channels. Back then, I only watched 2 or 3 channels on Twitch fairly regularly. And right. Everything else, my other entertainment came from like Netflix or YouTube or Hulu, that kind of thing.
You mean the sites that suck us in with all of those suggested feeds and we're like, oh, I could go for one more. I could go for one more.
The one more episode curse, yeah.
Just one more.
That's the one. And then I actually discovered Crochet and Knit Streamer on Twitch. Can I name drop that, okay?
Name drop that, absolutely. All right.
Girl November is who I discovered. She streams in the morning usually.
Oh, really? You found Girl November first?
I did find Girl November first.
Oh, my goodness.
I came into her stream and I went, oh, this is kind of a fun community. She usually streams around 9 o'clock in the morning my time, which is, I'm very much a night owl. So 9 o'clock in the morning is usually when I'm starting to just get up and be coherent in the morning.
Right, right. Same here for us as well. I will make sure to throw a link to Girl November in the podcast description. I'm also a fan of Girl November. She is just really such a sweetheart.
She is. She's very sweet. Her space is always very positive, and it's just a fun place to just go and hang out and just chill and relax with the community. Even though, to me, knitting and crochet is like black magic. I couldn't knit or crochet to save my life. But watching someone do it is fascinating because they're speaking a whole other language about like purls and knits and all this other stuff that I have no idea what they're talking about. Because to me, a purl is a shiny white stone. So I have no idea what they talk about when they get ranting about that kind of thing.
Oh, and that's actually spelled completely different as well.
P-U-R-L versus P-E-A-R-L, correct?
Correct. Yes, correct. But
I just won the spelling bee prize. Woohoo.
Well, that's so interesting that you found Girl November first. I found One Up Girl first.
Oh, that's interesting.
I found One Up Girl. And if you don't know who One Up Girl is, she crochets and she also does perler art. And she's a very family friendly channel.
Very family friendly.
Very family friendly. Outside of the podcast, I am not a family friendly individual. So this is very entertaining to, you know, my first draw to Twitch was family friendly. And then I found Saren through her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Girl November, I went on Twitch, you can do a raid train. So if a streamer decides to end their stream, they can go and bring their viewers to someone else's channel and raid them. And that's what it's called, as a raid. So Girl November had raided a few other people on Twitch, and I kind of sat around and went, yeah, that's kind of interesting that it's not really catching my attention, but that's nice. But I kept coming back for Girl November's stream. And then one day she went and raided Looney Loomworks, who is...
What an incredible individual.
He's a fantastic guy. He does loom weaving on stream and fiber arts and... what else does he do? He does spinning. He spins yarn. He spins fiber into yarn. And he also upcycles. He does he'll take old towels or bed sheets and stuff like that and weave them into these rugs and pieces of art and like pixel art on a big weaving loom. And it's crazy. It's so amazing to watch.
Lots of great pop culture references in his work.
Lots of amazing. He's just such a talented guy. He really is.
And he's just a sweet dude. He's just so nice.
He absolutely is.
Okay, we're getting off on a tangent.
We are. But anyway, from Looney. And then Looney one day went and raided... Oh, no, I'm sorry. One day I decided to go on to Twitch, and I realized that Looney wasn't live. So instead, I found Sarah Dawn's designs.
And she's also a sweet bean.
She's also a very sweet bean. And then she went and raided Serenadia. And so from there, Serenadia is another artist that does beadwork and dream catchers and like very similar to my own craft, but also in her own style. So very different too. And then from there, I think actually I had seen you mention in Sarah Dawn's channel that you were going to be streaming and you were nervous for the first time or whatever. And I popped into your chat that night and made you eat pineapple pizza for the very first time. And that was it.
Yeah, you butthead.
I deserve that.
you do. You created a whole entire culture on my channel about pineapple pizza that I hate beyond all recognition. I love the emote, but God, do I hate pineapple pizza. I love pineapple. I love pizza. They just don't belong together. Good Lord. But yes, that is actually how we met, is through her showing up for my very first stream. And we've been pretty much inseparable since then. I have not stopped harassing you. I mean, you know, talking to you since that moment. And I'm sure you're ready to throw down the cease and desist or whatever. I'm sure you're ready. You're done.
You're fine.
So with streaming in general, what are you feeling like regarding creative opportunity here? You have the opportunity to explore basically anything you want on stream, right? You could do anything your heart desires. What path has that taken you down?
That actually led me to cross-stitching. I knew what cross-stitching was before. Back when I was very young, when I was a mini Dawn, I was shown cross-stitching very briefly by my mom. She also did a little bit of embroidery back in the day too, but it never really caught my attention because I was like, okay, well, you can just make pretty landscape scenes and that's all you can do with this. And then I discovered your channel and you have a Baby Cthulhu pattern. You have a Copyright This pattern.
Oh my gosh.
Like, all of these crazy, great patterns that are like so crazy. And it's pixel art is basically what it is. Pixel art on fabric is how I would describe cross stitch. And so even though I hadn't been into it at that time, I was like, you know what? This is fun to watch. I'm just going to keep coming back for this because this is entertaining and it's good banter we've got going on.
Oh yeah.
And then I suddenly somehow now am participating in a stitch along.
Yeah, you know, we only brought you in with every intention of just taking over all of your crafting with this.
Absolutely, you did. I kind of let it happen, too. There's a point where I just said, yeah, let's just go ahead.
I'm not escaping it this time, am I? I guess I'll join in. I'll guess, whatever.
I'll drink the Kool-Aid. Why not?
You know what, though? That is something that's super valid, though, because that tends to be what happens, is that someone sees what you're doing and then they just are like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to learn how to do that. And then they do that. And then you're like, oh, wait, yes, this is my life now.
Pretty much.
Oops. Feels bad, man.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So outside of cross stitching, you know, speaking of, you know, you got into cross stitch because of streaming, but have you thought about trying anything else?
Well, the next big thing that I want to try in the future is resin art, specifically making pendants and using like miscellaneous beads that I have lying around that aren't going to be used for anything else, and making like pendants and earrings and stuff like that for my store. That is very much down the line, but that's the next project that I want to start getting into. I just don't have the space physically at the moment.
That makes sense.
Start doing it, but that is definitely on the docket for where my store is going to go in the future. Going to include more resin pieces.
Do I hear possible charms that maybe I could we could maybe collab and like put some stuff in charms and make
perhaps
like scissor fobs and things like that? Do I hear collab?
Perhaps the collab could happen. Yeah.
Perhaps. We should talk. We should talk more about that.
We should.
We should totally do all the things and all the stuff.
Absolutely. All the stuff and all the tools is awesome.
Oh, people are not prepared for what we're planning, though.
Well, first it's keychains, right? Then it's scissor fobs. Next it's world domination. So y'all best be prepared.
Oh, no one's prepared.
No.
And then we're going to train all the people on how we did the world domination. And then we're going to change our plan to so then that way we can hold on to that world domination.
I like this. I like where this is going.
See, we have a way to like just continuously make this happen. the other thing I was gonna say, speaking of, but I use that transition so frequently, it's kind of painful. I do. It's very painful. Editing self will absolutely hate all of the ums that I have to clip out, so y'all can have fun with that. But with new crafts and things like that, it makes me think of an event that you ran with a couple of other individuals this last month. And holy crap, you did such a fantastic job with a crafty day in.
Thank you.
So give us a little short summary of how you would describe a crafty day in.
I can't take full credit for it. I was one of three organizers for the event. It was me, BK Lug Art, and Serenadia. The three of us worked together to pull this off. A Crafty Day In is our answer to the various lockdowns that had happened throughout the months of March and leading into the summer, where a lot of crafting people would ordinarily go and participate in craft fairs or event shows and that kind of thing. And this was our answer to not being able to participate in those physically. So we created a website. Well, back in the day, back in May 2020, BK Lug was actually the first one who created the website. And she hosted it on her own website and had just, I think, six vendors at the time participate and show off their wares. And some of us streamed for the event as well. And overall, from what I heard, that was a success as well, that we had a lot of traffic going to those individual people. And a couple people also were benefited with sales from the event. Then I asked if I could join in and help organize the next one because I don't have enough on my plate, apparently.
Never.
So never enough, apparently. So she
said, I feel like you learned that from me.
Yeah, you've rubbed off on me.
A little bit.
My turn to rub off on you and get you some rest.
Oh, you shush. You hush. You hushed on that one, you butt.
So we worked together and we created a website and we got, I think it was a total of 12 vendors participating in this past event. The website still exists, actually.
The regular one or the broken one?
The regular one. We broke the website. I'll touch on that later. We broke a website. Yeah. But we
such
had
such a good feel.
It was an amazing feeling. But we kind of organized it a little bit differently than the first one. I went ahead and made a dedicated Discord server for the vendors and those participating so that they could be kept in the loop of behind the scenes things and what was going on. We made the website, we filled out the vendor application forms, we figured out who was going to stream when, and we ran the day as a raid train on Twitch. So what that meant is when someone was finished with their crafting part of it, they would go and take their viewers to the next participant, and the participant then would take everybody and go to the next person and just have a continual train, basically, throughout 2 days. So it ran from August the 21st to the 22nd. And the original website that we had, I woke up on the 21st, this morning of the 22nd, to an email saying, hey, you're at your bandwidth limit for this website. It's not going to be available after the end of today. And I went, oh, we broke a website.
Which, first of all, bandwidth limits in 2020. Come on. Yeah. Are you joking me? But we broke a website.
We broke a website.
I don't even care. We broke a website.
I ran some numbers, and we broke the website with 55 clicks on the website, which meant that by the end of day two, by the end of the 22nd, we had had, by my estimate, we had had either just under or just over 100 people click on the website we had created.
Which is mind-blowing for a little grassroots, like, second-time effort.
It's insane. Absolutely insane. So, yeah, it was a wildly successful day, as I like to describe it. I've heard back from several vendors that participated in the event that they had some sales because of the day. We got one of the streamers to hit affiliate status with the amount of followers that we were able to generate because of the raid train. A lot of smaller vendors that maybe didn't stream for the event, because the streaming was optional. They didn't have to. But several people who didn't stream also did benefit from the traffic that we had generated from the raid trains and just from participating in the whole thing anyway. So everybody participated. It was a community over competition, and it was beautiful. It was wildly successful, more than I had even dreamed of it being.
And it's just really awesome. I have to say, like, I remember the first event for A Crafty Day In was hosted by BK Lug. And it was rather small, but this expanded vision that you and Saren brought to the table along with BK really just, yeah, like you said, it was community over competition. It helped everybody involved in some way, shape, or form. It was really quite fantastic, in my opinion.
It was great. Yeah, we had...
You did such a good job. Y'all did a great job. That's all I can keep saying about it is y'all did a great job.
Thank you. We are starting to get plans ready for the next event, which we don't have a date solidified yet, so I can't really spoil anything about that. But we're starting to look ahead and see where we can take this and how we can expand and where we're going to go from here.
Am I allowed to say?
You are.
Okay, well... I'm going to be helping with that. I got asked by Dawn and BK and Saren to become one of them. I got the one of us chant and one of us. No, so I'm going to actually be helping with A Crafty Day and moving forward. And Dawn has seen my notes sheet about some things.
Yes.
I don't know if the group is prepared for me in general. I don't know if they're prepared for the oh shit, Liz has a list. And that is the first time I've actually sworn on this actual channel. I don't think they're prepared.
No, I don't think we are.
It should be very entertaining, but I'm so excited for the next event. I hope we can make it even bigger and better than before.
I hope so. I'm
bigger
very much
and badder than ever.
Very much looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. Because our original, when we had the first event, I had to actually on the second day while the other streams were happening, I had to actually go and make a backup website because we hadn't considered that there was a bandwidth limit in 2020. Like, come on, really?
Come on now, right?
But so I had to go and I made a whole new website in like the span of 3 hours that I just crunched to get out.
So much copy pasta.
so much copypasta happened. But yeah, by the end of the day, we have now approximately 30 members in our Discord server, and we started out with about 15. So we've already doubled our numbers since
That's
the first
amazing.
Event. And it's incredible. So I can't wait to see who all is going to be participating in the next one and how we can just keep this growing and growing and growing and make something even bigger out of it.
Well, and you don't find very many virtual craft sales, especially with people who just honestly want to care about one another.
It's
you
true.
Don't find that too terribly much. So I think you brought, you and the group brought a huge advantage or a new fresh idea to the marketplace that just hasn't happened before. Just pure community over competition, because we can be honest, there are some events that claim community over competition, but just aren't.
Yeah.
And I think you, Saren, and BK did such a fantastic, fabulous, fantabulous job of making community over competition truly what it's about. It's community over the competition. You guys did such a beautiful job at promoting everyone and saying, hey, don't forget to go check out the ones who aren't streaming. Hey, don't forget to go like their Instagrams. Don't forget to go do X, Y, and Z. Which, pro tip for everyone out there, if you want to support a small business but financially are unable to, follow them on every single social that you have.
Absolutely.
I know it's a random deviation from everything, but that is just, it's a huge help, more than you realize. Just following and interacting with their posts does a lot more than you think it does.
This exposure may not pay the bills because you can't get paid in exposure, but it does help to lead to future sales.
That too. Does. And it definitely helps with that. And it helps with keeping contact with that creator as well, because it's not all just, you know, about the sales on that front. You can really make a community off those socials, and you could get a little glimpse into the future that way too.
Absolutely.
Graceful Dawn, thank you so much for coming and spending. We've been on this call for a lot longer than the podcast is going. So thank you for spending your day or your time with me ranting and rambling about everything that comes to mind.
You're very welcome. This is no different than any other day, except for other people are going to hear our various rantings and ramblings.
this is very accurate. This is very true though. Why don't we do a promo drop for you? Give us the info, tell us how to find you, tell us how to watch you, give us all the good details.
So all of my social medias are available from my website. So that's where I'll direct you mainly. It's gracefuldawndesigns.squarespace.com. And as Liz has said, it is linked in the podcast description. So check that out. All of my socials are there. I'm on Facebook under Graceful Dawn Designs, Twitter at Graceful Dawn, and Instagram under the same handle. On Twitch, I am Graceful Dawn as well. Typically on Twitch, I stream on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday mornings, not all three in a row. But I do have a link from my Twitch to get into my own personal Discord server, which is where I alert people ahead of the stream that I will be streaming on these days, and this is when you can catch me live, or just drop a follow on Twitch so that you can get an email or a notification on your cell phone to let you know when I'm going live and come and hang out and have some fun.
Which those notifications are already turned on my phone all day, every day. Can't go without a Graceful Dawn stream. I really can't. Aww. You are just so much fun, and I love watching you take apart pieces, put things together. It's interesting because on your stream, we can always see when the gears are going in your head.
Yeah.
We can always see when those gears are turning, and you can just go, oh, wait, she's got an idea. Oh, hold on. She's got it. And you just go straight for it at 90 miles an hour. And it's fantastic. And I love watching you. So thank you so much for coming on here today. And that is all we have for this episode of The Craft Cove. If you don't know where to find us in particular, this is my new announcement. You can find all of our socials, including our podcast, on sleepinglunadesigns.com. That is sleepinglunadesigns.com. That also gets you a link to our store, all of our socials, our Twitch, our podcast. And if there is ever a blog, if there is ever a blog post done on my website, let it be known that every single one of you are allowed to say, "I told you so." Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
And thanks for everyone for listening. We'll all catch up very soon.